Hey, good morning. March 22nd, 2020. You know, 2020 is surely a year that will be remembered, especially March. Things like March Madness didn't take place, at least not in the month of March. On the high school, college, even the professional level. Locally, schools during the last 2 weeks of March have been suspended. E-learning, or a blended system of take-home assignments and e-learning, even right here in Hartford City. So the local officials have decided. The governor, during this month of March, has made proclamations, statements restricting the groups gathering together, restricting in-restaurant dining, and non-essential travel, even closing beauty shops, barber shops. That, by the way, was a big impact for the ladies that I work with, and they knew it was serious then. Beyond the local, state, even the national level, President Donald Trump on March 13th issued a declaration for a national emergency concerning the novel coronavirus disease. That was a follow-up to what had been done by the Secretary of Health and Human Services back on January 31st of this year, when he called this a public health emergency. At Heartland, our fellowship, hearing that and knowing the Lord's instructions to us from Romans chapter 13, we have done things like postpone the debut of our movie, The Greatest of These, which was to take place just past Saturday. We have suspended D-band meetings. We have set aside the assembling of ourselves together, but we're using this provision that God has made so that we can gather around his teaching and get the benefit of that. So, at Heartland, we are taking this Romans 13 seriously that God says to us to obey our governing authorities because they watch out for us, and we will indeed be doing that. So you've heard about COVID-19, the coronavirus disease. My intent is not to reiterate or to review precautions, give lessons on all of that. Indeed, we should take precautions. Just yesterday, the report out of Italy, 627 people passed away in one day for this. We should take precautions. The United Kingdom has pulled out of retirement, at least asked to come out of retirement, 65,000 nurses and physicians to help deal with this in their country. Indeed, we should take precautions, and we are. A good number of our folks have quarantined themselves, shut off their interactions with their community, and wisely so. My aim is not to review or to reiterate all of this, so we should take it seriously and obey God's directions concerning our governing authorities. My aim is to help you deal with the challenge that you face in this, and indeed what we're going to be looking at helps us face the challenges we have in life all the time. So we're going to go ahead and proceed on this series that we have been planning for a long time, a series that I think of as the over-the-top promises of God, because that's how they're laid out to us. Things that God has promised us are over-the-top, and these definitely help us at a time such as this. You know, it's amazing to me that God has included the preparations for us even before things happened. When we had a family crisis with a major illness, the passage was sent from Alita's parents, my wife's parents, to us about God's plans for children and their descendants from Isaiah chapter 65, verse 23. And you know, verse 24 very interestingly states that before you called, I answered. And yet while you were still speaking, I will hear you. God knows, as Jesus told us when he taught us to pray, he knows what you have need of before you ask. And yet he still interacts with us personally. That's a promise. And there are many, many, many more of those kinds of promises that God gives to his people, his kingdom people, that are under his directions, that are in line with his supervision and control of things. So our plan is to take a look at these promises starting in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at a great escape, our great escape, through what we take a look at. Right now we're going to pause and feel like we would do at Heartland, want to sing a song. I would recommend something like A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. You can get it right online. Or You're a Good, Good Father. And then we're going to come back and take a look at these over-the-top promises of God. As a matter of fact, that's the way he talks about it. See you in a moment. So what we're going to be doing here during these months when we have suspended our fellowship together is we're going to be going together through this process of communicating by the technology that we have provided in our day. And I want you to know this isn't going to be perfect. Far from it. If we had put this thing together with a good plan, we would have presented the music, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, or A Good, Good Father, and done it together here. As a matter of fact, hopefully this will develop. Yet, it will give us an opportunity to be together and to think about these things that God has provided for us as a great escape, our great escape. Let's begin here with this. What do you want? To have an honest answer to that would help a lot when dealing with ourselves at times and dealing with others oftentimes. It seems we kind of know that. I mean, we ask it often. You have a toddler that's right there on your knee, about the height of your kneecap, and they're tugging on your pant leg, saying, Mom, 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 or Daddy, Dad, Dad, looking up at you. And, of course, with grace, you think, what do you want? What do you want? Or someone calls you on the cell phone and you pick it up and you look at the number that's coming in and you answer. Hello, it's Tom. How can I help you? Well, those kind of answers maybe is a nicer way than saying, what do you want? Even if somebody has a pistol pointed at you, thought is, whoa, what do you want here? So, we are often helped by knowing what we're dealing with in regards to what someone wants. Also, even with ourselves, we have that restless, caged-in sense of, we got to do something. Well, what do you want? I want to get out. Indeed, some folks have wanted not to be cheated out of their spring break, so they've done things like put themselves and others at a greater risk during this time. want just to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it and buy what I want when I want to. Yeah, those are going to be some challenges here. What do you want? It's an important thing to know in dealing with ourselves and dealing with others often. As a matter of fact, God, through the Apostle Peter in this book of 2 Peter chapter 1, talks to us about the corruption that you and I see and experience in this world that happens from what people want. It's in 2 Peter, and I'd like you to read it with me. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4 initially. His divine power, referring to God and what he has done, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of desire. Here in this context, sinful desire, although the word desire itself isn't indicating something that's sinful, though it can be. Corruption that is in the world through desire, human desires, through what people want, what you desire, what you crave, what you're longing for. Some of that is out of line and puts others in danger and can well bring on ruin. God's over-the-top promise us, gets us involved with him in such a way that we can deal with and escape such wants. This morning, our great escape. Through what? Through his promises. This is part of our over-the-top series. And God promises to us here that these promises provide an escape and much more, as we'll see later on in this passage over the series. We're going to talk about two themes this morning from this passage. We're going to talk about where we are to be at in our faith. That's first. What God's doing has accomplished so that we are at this place. This is where we are to be at. And secondly, we're going to talk about where you can now go in your life. Where I can go in my life. That's what we're going to be taking a look at. So we want to be doing this in a way that you can interact like we would do if we were at the fellowship. We would be talking and raise questions. I'd ask questions, you'd answer questions. You know, with the cell phone, you can text. And those questions would come to me and some even as we're talking, you could text to me or later on questions about what we're looking at here. So first of all, we want to talk about where we're to be at in our faith. I want to direct your attention here to verses 1 and 2 in that regard, because Simon Peter, this was the Apostle Peter, you know, the guy who was very outspoken, the guy who denied the Lord, the guy who was on the Mount of Transfiguration, which he talks about here a little bit later, the guy who said when he realized Jesus' teaching as he was pulling in and repairing a net, said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." That's the person we're talking about, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he recognizes himself. And this is those to whom he's speaking, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing or equal value with ours. Now, this is an amazing statement for the apostle to say, because he is talking about everybody being on the same status with the Lord on the basis of our faith. This is our personal trust in God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what he says in the rest of this verse. That personal trust puts everybody on the same status with God. You see, there are no upper status saints. Everyone becomes a full citizen. You know, there's a process called naturalization, where a person becomes a naturalized citizen. That's a foreigner who moves into the country. I heard of this, someone coming from an Arabic background in a Middle Eastern country, coming here and learning the foundational basis of our democratic republic. And as that person did this, they went through the process of becoming a naturalized citizen and giving this citizen allegiance to the United States. And that person is on the same status as a citizen, as a natural citizen, a naturally born citizen. This is a naturalized citizen, someone who was born to it, equal status. That was how this term was used in the past, of becoming a citizen of another country, even present in our country. And as we become part of God's kingdom, everyone is on this equal standing with God. So the Apostle Peter states right at the beginning of this thing, this is where we're at in our faith. And that happens. Now, there are differences with folks in regards to maturity and immaturity and being a believer. And there are differences relative to growing in your trust in God. There are differences in regards to dedication to serve the Lord. And those are all interconnected, by the way. And I won't pursue that right now. But there are differences, yet everyone is who has a genuine faith in Jesus Christ on this equal standing. And that happens, the rest of this verse says, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This righteousness is a thing of giving what is just or what is due to an individual. This is right. This is just. This is correct. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ, what was correct and due, was accomplished in Jesus' life. He lived always according to God's precepts, commandments, and direction. He did always those things that were in line with God, were well-pleasing to him. And as a result, that righteousness of Christ was well established. And that righteousness, according to the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 20 and following, was given to us as a free gift. So our equal standing in this kingdom of God is by that righteousness of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what this verse clearly says. That's where we're at in our faith. And that being the basis we work from, the Apostle Paul now goes on to talk to us about what is to be increasingly our experience. Notice here, verse 2, where he says, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord." May grace and peace be multiplied to you. This is a thing that is to be increasing. It is to be more and more our experience that we have grace, unearned favor, and help delivered to you by God. Yep, in a time of need, in a time of uncertainty, Hebrews 4 tells us that we may find grace and mercy to help in a time of need. Yep, that is to be delivered to us more and more increasingly in our experience, and we are to know peace, this settledness inside, this harmony inside of us with God and with what God is doing. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. That is where we're at in our faith, to be experiencing that. Now, this is put in what's called an optative mood, or a sense in which this is what is hoped for, but the certainty of it really depends on your cooperation here. You see, this comes to us in the knowledge of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. This grace and peace being increasingly our experience comes in our knowledge of God. As we grow, as we develop in knowing Him. Now, this knowledge is a stronger word. It means a word that has an assurance, an affirmation, so that it's something that we're aware of, that we are settled, confirmed, affirmed in, and use to discern events in our life. It's kind of like what is told to us in Hebrews chapter 5, where in verse 14, the writer of Hebrews tells us that solid food, something that genuinely nourishes, belongs to those who are mature, who by reason of use have exercised their senses, their ability to think and understand, to grasp this, have exercised their senses to discern, to look at, evaluate, and decide. This is good, this is harmful. What's beneficial and what is harmful. The experience of our peace and the experience of unearned favor and help from God, grace, comes through that knowledge. That's where we're at in our faith. You know, this would be really a good time, since you may have more time of being home, not being able to get out with the travel restrictions to only essential travel, to set yourself a project. I do. As a matter of fact, I have a book that my computer is sitting on right here that I've kind of committed myself to read through as some of this time comes, and it's beneficial. I was doing that last evening some. It's beneficial for grace and peace. So that's where he says is where we're at in our faith. Now, I want you to know that grace and peace is not earned by doing this. This growing in knowledge is actually the delivery system of this grace and peace. It's kind of like right now, deliveries have been changed somewhat. As a matter of fact, I had someone telling me the other day that they went to Walmart to pick up their order, but because of the delivery system and how it had changed, they said, oh, your order had been canceled. And that had to do with some things about time and restricted hours and that kind of thing. Right now, you can't go to a restaurant in the state of Indiana and dine in because the delivery system of this has been changed to cut down the amount of person-to-person interaction for the communication or the spreading of COVID-19. That's the delivery system. That is a change on how this is delivered. Grace and peace is delivered, not earned, but delivered through this knowledge of our God and Savior. That's where we're at. Now, I want to add, secondly, where you can now go in your life. When you have that going on, this multiplying grace and peace, the apostle says, in that manner, verse 3, in that manner, there's a little word that's included in the Greek that doesn't really come out here in our New Testament in verse 3. Some translations, like the New American Standard, attempts to bring that out by saying seeing. But the idea is that in that manner, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. His divine power, through that knowledge, his divine power has granted us all things, everything that goes in the direction that moves forward in life and to godliness. That is really quite an amazing statement. Through this knowledge, you are to go where you have everything you need for life. Well, I don't have certain items like certain paper products, or perhaps there's a change in supply. I hear that zinc is a helpful thing in dealing with the coronavirus, and so the supply of zinc isn't there. I don't have that. Well, what he's talking about here in supplying everything by his divine power, the power of God granting us everything that goes forward with life and with godliness. He's talking about a life that God intends for us to lead and to have. God has, through his power, delivered to us everything we need for the circumstances, the situations that we encounter in life, how we are to understand it, perceive it, and to deal with it, react to it. Everything we need for life, and a life that will go along in his direction. You know, there are many promises where God states to us that he will not have his seed begging bread or to be in need. As a matter of fact, some of those are in our future looks at the promises of God. He has given us everything we need for a life that handles the circumstances it's in, and a life that goes his way. He's done this by the power that he has. So the promise here stands. And that comes to us through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. The glory of the Lord was seen by Peter. That's why he said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." The excellence, the magnificence of him was perceived. Peter saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration, which he talks about later in this very chapter. That glory and that excellence is an attraction to get to know the Lord, what he provides is everything, the whole of what we need for life, to managing the events here. Is it going to be everything I want? Is it going to be everything that I perceive I need in this situation? No, but he will give you the equipment to manage it and to go his way with it. That's the promise. And he says here, this has come by this, notice with me verse 14, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. By his promises, you are able to go to where God wants you to go in this life. During a national crisis, during a personal crisis, during things operating as normal, during times of being closed in, during times of being able to go and to buy and to do whatever it is that you can afford in your lifestyle that you enjoy, he has given to us the way we are to go. And here he talks about it in verse 4. He's given us these very great promises so that, statement of purpose, through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That is quite a statement. God has shared with you his own disposition, his own constitution. The Apostle Paul talks about it as the mind of Christ. John talks about it as being born of the Spirit of God. To as many as received them, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Being born of his Spirit, we partake, we become sharers, associates in the divine way that God is, the personality that he has, the disposition he holds. These come to us through these over-the-top, exceedingly great, that's how he says it, and it's superlative, it's an over-the-top, these exceedingly great and precious promises, so that you can participate in this divine nature, and you do it on an increasing way or in an increasing manner. More and more and more you become a reflection of the way God is, the way Jesus was, full of grace and full of truth. That is our great escape. And what we escape from is stated here as well. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of desire. Yep, some desires get out of line. Some desires so out of line that I'm going to do this because I want to do this, and I'm going to do it whatever is the outcome of it. And that's ruinous. That's corruption. That's difficult. And we can manage that in ourselves because we all have desires. We're born wanters, John Calvin said to us. We are born that way. And we can manage what we want. We can manage this. Dealing with the caged in feeling, dealing with not getting what I want when I want it, like we're so accustomed to in this country. We can deal with that by this growing in the knowledge, recognizing the disposition of God, participating in that disposition of God. You know, I know God is up to something in this. We know that God works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. God, even if a believer passes away, makes full provision for that. Always has, always will. matter of fact, precious in the sight of the Lord, is that time that he calls them home, that time when they pass away, is the death of his saints. God makes provision. And you know, that heaven, to leave here and to go to his presence in his heaven, you know, that really isn't so bad. But to stay on with his purpose and plan here, that's what this is about. His promise is providing us everything we need for life here, to grasp it, to understand it, to deal with it, and a life that goes God's way through these exceedingly over-the-top great and precious promises, that we participate in his nature and escape the ruin that's in this world through those out-of-line desires like we all have. This is the great escape that God has for us for such a time as this. And this is a promise. This is a genuine promise. You know, when I was a kid, we had a pony. Her name was Velvet. We had this pony. And of course, you know, that sounds something like National Velvet. And perhaps it was. I didn't name it. But this pony that we had, my dad, having grown up during the horse years, understood a whole bunch about horses. Matter of fact, he talks about the teams of horses. And he saw this pony, and he said, "Something is wrong." And we went out into the pasture and saw the pony. And somehow the pony had caught its hoof, evidently in the fence or something, but torn the connection. Now, I am not a veterinarian, but somehow had torn part of their hoof away from the lower part of their foot, and the pony was attempting to run away from the pain, and of course that was just adding to the problem, and it was a very strange thing, trying to run away from the pain. She was trying to escape it. Well, that wasn't the way of escape. You can't escape what we're in. This is a thing that we must manage here. But we can escape. We can escape the ruinness of what could be from our own desires by trusting these exceedingly great and precious promises. You know, this time could cause alarm and uncertainty and fear. And next week, as we look at the promises, we're going to be looking at Psalm 46. And I'm asking you to read that ahead and enjoy what's there. Because of what God describes, he takes care of for us. And that promise is the avenue of our escape. Not moving away, not trying to forget this, to drown this, to take a trip and forget about it, to lose ourselves in a book or fantasy, although those would be great things to use your time for. That is the book I'm talking about. Not to escape it, but to participate in these promises and reflect God's divine disposition. You know, that's how he's glorified. That's how good opinion of him goes out, that we reflect him in what we do. Martin Luther went through the time of the Great Plague, and as he went through that time, he talked about taking the precautions that he needed to take and to do the things that were reasonable and right in these precautions, and to serve. And to serve as we have the opportunity and capacity to do that. That was great advice. And the promises here are certain. We can partake, we can show that disposition when we adopt, drink in these promises. Psalm 46 for next week. Hope you read it. See you later. Take care. Hey, couple of points here. Our focus, we've been using this to go through our prayer for the believers in other countries that need our prayers and persecution. Egypt is the one we're focusing on right now. You can look that up. And Google. Also, keep this in mind, that we will yet have this debut. So, we're making plans for the future. Hope you will too. Take care. Bye.